Hey nerds, we understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top-secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Ken Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Geek Cave Podcast Comics. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Chad.
To the bat pole, Robin. Shazam! Hulk smash! My spider sense is tingling. Excelsior! And other thing Darren yells during sex. Welcome to comics.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. So before we get too blue in our comedy, I want to thank our sponsors, Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from your past so you can look rad today. With free shipping on orders within the U.S., plus great t-shirts, sweater, and hoodie designs for everything geek chic, find something for you at Shirtosaurus.com. And also Gamefly, video games delivered, your destination for new and used video games. Browse the collection of thousands of games while you keep that you can keep as long as you want without worrying about late fees. And then when you're done, send it back with the postage paid envelope for a new one. Or pay a lot less than in-store prices and keep it forever. Sign up for your free 30-day trial right now using the link at geekcavepodcast.com. Boys, how we doing?
I'm all right.
It's day 761. It doesn't feel like it, but it is, trust me.
Fair enough. So, Darren, did you do anything interesting lately?
Well, yeah, let's just jump in.
Be gentle.
Be gentle.
Be gentle.
Be gentle.
It's Darren's first time.
I told you be gentle.
Okay, so, boys, have I got a story for you.
Got a whale of a tale to tell you, lads.
What happens when you're on a camping trip with a troop of Boy Scouts and you go searching for a few that wander off and you end up encountering this alien race that is brainwashing said Boy Scouts? And they zap you with a ray, I assume, intending to destroy you. But instead, they give you super strength, agility, and other things vaguely Captain America-ish.
You have a good time?
Kinda. It's Captain Canuck.
Ah.
Captain Canuck, which has... I'm not...
You making this up?
No, no, Captain Canuck.
Oh, if this is the long box also, I'm going to be pissed.
I guarantee it is not Canuck the long box.
Was first created in 1975 by Richard Cumley. And he was, when he launched, the protector of then-future dystopia 1993. Yeah. So, his name is Tom Evans, and, you know, he basically looks like if Captain America had the Canadian flag wrapped around him. And, you know, not bad. The issue that I read was Captain Canuck Zero, which was one of those free comic book day things. And I thought this is a great way for me to, like, get in on the ground floor and not risk a lot of money. And yeah, I mean, the biggest thing about Captain Canuck is that he's a time traveler by explosion and explosion only, in that throughout the course of his career. Every time he has seemingly died in an explosion, he has instead been kicked to a different time period. And it happens a lot. The first time, he was kicked back to the time of the Aztecs. And then after that, he was kicked to the far, far future. And it continues to happen where he seemingly dies and there's this big funeral and everyone's like, Captain Canuck sacrificed all for us. And nope, he's fighting aliens in the year 3000 now. It's fine. He's fine. He'll be back. Just wait for another explosion. It's like if Quantum Leap were 1000% more badass.
And Captain Canuck stepped into the explosion and disappeared.
Yeah. My biggest problem with Captain Canuck Zero is it's short. It's so short that, like, just when the story starts to pick up, it's over. And, you got to read issue number one to find out. His brother runs this oil company or whatever and is evil. I mean, the company is called Equilibrium, so that's probably not a good sign. I love the names of his partners. There's a field agent / sharpshooter who is from Montreal, and her code name is Quebec, K-E-B-E-C. There is a quote-unquote girl in the chair, Felicity Smoke type, called Redcoat. She's British.
Okay.
Of course. Now, while Captain Canuck is Canadian, his brother, who is the same age as him, is American. That's how you know he's evil.
Yeah, that tracks.
Yeah. There's other characters that, quite frankly, aren't nearly as interesting as those. Overall, though, I mean, yeah, it was one of those stories that's pretty derivative. The time travel hijinks pop up because, you know, it's one creative way to get around. I would prefer doing something other than explosions, but that's just me. Overall, though, for this first time, the biggest problem is that it's so short. So, like, it's like it started off really exciting, and then it ended before I was ready for it to end, and I had to settle for kind of sitting there in awkward silence for a while.
Things hurt on my wedding night.
Mm.
See, I already made fun of Darren in the bedroom once, so I've hit my limit, so...
That's fair. Give Captain Canuck a try, if for no other reason than as a short fling.
I'm just really excited that you had one that you kind of liked.
Yeah, I was telling Justin before we started taping that these are progressively getting better. So this one, I think I'm actually going to hang on to for a while, which is exciting. Next month is X-Files Origins, where David Duchovny's character Agent Mulder is a kid investigating stuff, so that could go both ways.
Didn't he get started by that when his sister was abducted by aliens?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
In the story?
Yeah. Okay. That might be good, or it might be another Super Angry Birds, but you'll just have to download next month's episode to find out.
Okay.
All right. Well, I look forward to it. Chad, do you have anything worth talking about?
Well, I did pick up a comic this month.
Oh, do tell.
Oh, yes. I picked up the second issue of Second Coming, Only Begotten Son. You know, my current, you know, comic of choice. So I have a review. After last month's disappointment... and I think I actually talked about it last month or the month before, that the first issue of this second series was a retread of the Superman thing. So you get science denial and you get, you know, real estate discussions, etc. Yeah. Anyway, and when the series is over, I'll reread this section to see if it makes sense in context. But the second issue returns to what makes the series resonate with me, which is a very human Jesus trying desperately to change the world and having those attempts frustrated by the very people who need his outlook the most. In this case, Jesus wants to restart his mission and finds himself at a quote-unquote Christian theme park where he's mistaken as one of the staff entertainers.
Oh, no.
And so when when they put the real Jesus on the stage, thinking that he's one of the entertainers, and this is like big box store church kind of church, you know, things do not go well. And park security, who are dressed like Roman soldiers, accost Jesus and start to put him in handcuffs, which triggers a PTSD moment, understandably. Oh, Lord, no. And Jesus runs away. You know, so he's got this one cuff hanging off of his wrist, and he runs away. He gets on a bus, and then traffic jam. Swap scenes. And we have a recently divorced man. He's feeling lonely and worthless, and he decides he's going to jump off a bridge. As he says, there's so much loneliness, maybe if I jump, I'll take some of it with me. And just as he's kind of saying this, there's Jesus sitting next to him, who got off the bus to find out why there was a traffic jam and was going to walk. And we get one of the best scenes in a comic that I've read, where Jesus just sits with the man. You know, there's not much going on. Just sits with him to make sure that he's not alone. And as the guy's talking about jumping, Jesus takes that handcuff and puts it around the other guy's wrist, a la, you know, Martin Riggs from Lethal Weapon. You know? And so you get the sense it's like, you can still go, but now know that you'll be going with somebody. It's a really powerful moment in an issue that has a lot of good moments and the best name for a cat that I've ever heard. Fernado. So, if you're into this series, the second issue of Second Coming, Only Begotten Son, highly recommended.
All right.
Cool. I really do look forward to borrowing all of them when they're done.
All righty.
Chad, I believe you might have something else, according to my show notes.
Oh, right.
This is Chad's manga moment.
Guys, I'm a little worried about the air in Japanese schools because it seems like the boys have a whole lot of nosebleeds. And, what's that, dear? The nosebleed? Yeah, the nosebleeds. It means the boys are a row. Oh. Well, this throws every story into a new light. Stay tuned.
This has been Chad's manga moment.
Oh. Yeah. Humidifier will clear that right up.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh.
So,
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Chad.
You're welcome. Putting it all on the line for you guys.
I appreciate that. I really do. I really do. So, boys, I have a conversation that I want to talk about.
Okay.
This was
purple.
Suggested.
It's always purple.
No, not this time. This was suggested to me by my spouse, and it's an interesting conversation topic. What would various superheroes and supervillains be like as D&D characters? Like, how would you classify them?
Okay. Well, Superman is a lawful good paladin.
Okay.
It's kind of a given there.
Who put his character sheet together away from the rest of the group and the DM because everything's maxed out. I got 6 18s.
Sure you do.
Yeah.
And I'm playing variant human, so I get to add a +1 to all of them.
Yay. Well, like Iron Man, he'd be like an artificer.
So Batman as the ultimate multi-class.
Yeah. You know,
fighter, rogue, monk, ranger.
Yeah. Human, so he gets +1 to everything.
Yeah, also also probably, at least character-wise, the one with the lowest constitution has the lowest hit points.
Yeah.
Well, okay, Jason Todd has the lowest hit points, but...
But then somebody used cast Wish to bring him back, so...
Mm-hmm. So, there's that. So, when you think about this, though, you've got high strength and dex for practically all of them, right? High strength and dexterity for practically all of them. So really what you're looking at is where does like intelligence and wisdom come in? I'll say Flash probably has a low strength comparatively, or middling strength, high intelligence.
Right.
Right. Low wisdom, because he still hasn't figured out that you shouldn't change time.
Well, that's TV Flash. Comic book Flash, I think.
And comic book Flash.
No, you're right. My bad.
And how much you want to bet that it'll be movie Flash?
Oh, that's definitely a thing.
Oh, that's going to happen, yeah.
See?
Yeah, you're right.
They've taken one of the best characters and reduced him to being a nincompoop who thinks that he's a time traveler. What does this guy think he is, Captain Canuck?
Well, he is in red.
So that's our DC folks. So you've got a high dex and strength for Spider-Man as well. Also, another one who's high intelligence, low wisdom.
Yeah.
You know, just in terms of self-awareness. Now, this is an interesting one, though, because you've got kind of this strange point where Peter Parker is low charisma, but Spider-Man's high charisma.
Let's just look at their superhero personas.
Yeah. Okay. Because otherwise, it's just like a charm that Peter equips, and then that boosts his charisma.
I think we can just kind of take the stats as a given. Let's kind of figure out where they would fall in a class setting.
Hmm. Well, considering that just about all of them have some kind of multi-attack, it really cuts out rogues totally.
Aw, poor rogue.
Which is weird because most of them are sneaky. They're glass cannons, you know, high damage.
I would say Spider-Man's kind of like a monk. He's got a lot of speed and dexterity. He can do a lot of damage in a short amount of time. He's got, you know, kind of a sense of right and wrong, but his powers aren't derived from, like, worshiping something, to say, you know, sort of thing, like a paladin.
So does that make Wolverine a barbarian versus
Absolutely. Spider? Absolutely. And same with the Hulk, because the angrier he gets, the more he rages.
Mm-hmm. So then I would list Cyclops as a battlemaster fighter. You know, he's the leader of the X-Men for a reason. You know, he might be bad at it, but
is there a D&D class for really smart absentee father? Because that's Mr. Fantastic.
I'm pretty sure that's the background of almost every single D&D character.
That's fair.
Doctor Strange would be a wizard, clearly, because he's, even though he's the Sorcerer Supreme, he's a wizard. Because he studied, he learned.
He did have to study it.
Yeah.
He did have to learn it. So, a lot of straight up fighter class. I mean, Black Panther fighter class, Captain America fighter class. Mm-hmm.
Would Green Lantern be a wizard or a paladin? Because he is a magic user, kinda.
Yeah, but he didn't study, so he's not a wizard.
Okay.
He would make an interesting sorcerer.
Hmm.
You know, where. Well, think of him as sorcerer with an arcane focus, and the ring is the arcane focus.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, that works.
So he can create things using his imagination, but it has to flow through the ring. Remove the ring, remove the focus.
That makes sense.
So there's that. Okay, so we've got fighters, monks, sort of a rogue with Batman.
Catwoman would be a thief, obviously.
Yeah, okay, so we got Catwoman
you got a rogue.
As the rogue there.
Yeah. I just blanked on the guy's name, and that speaks so badly to my credit.
Batman.
Describe this character to us.
Skull Flames, played by Nick Cage.
Ghost Rider.
Ghost Rider, thank you. He would, I'd say Warlock for him.
That does make sense. He's made a deal with extraplanar entity.
Mm-hmm.
So we got Warlock. What classes are we missing? I mean, besides like the 100 of them that showed up in Sword Coast Adventurer's Guide and so forth.
Cleric. We haven't talked about clerics.
Dr. Fate.
I would say he's more of a... No, I would say Dr. Fate is a warlock because the powers reside in the helmet, and he chooses to put the helmet on to give him the power. So he's making a deal with. So yeah, Dr. Fate's a warlock.
Yeah. What about Battle Pope?
Battle Pope?
Yeah, that's a thing.
I was going to say Thor. Because while you could say that, yes, Thor is a god, he also communes with Odin. And his powers stem from Odin's pleasure. You know, you can call the...
But would that make him a paladin?
Not necessarily. I mean, because he calls on and uses the god's power. You know, the lightning and so forth. So think of him as literally a storm cleric.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that.
No, not everything is a life cleric. Not everybody is just saying, boom, you're healed.
That's true.
You know, if you want to do that, then you go down to, you know, Doc Murphy's down at the General Hospital. Cleric.
let's see. Cleric, barbarian, rogue, fighter, paladin. Sorcerer,
bard.
Bard, yes. Who would be a good bard?
Captain America, by using the power of motivational speech.
Yes.
Deadpool with cutting words.
Ooh. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Deadpool does make a lot of sense as a bard for a lot of reasons, some of which are just tied to stereotyping. He is the Zeus of the... Don't stick ya! Too late!
Late! Would there be any bards in DC?
Bards in DC.
Well, if you go down the Deadpool route, there's Ambush Bug.
True.
Although, I don't know why you would want to go to Ambush Bug.
Why not?
Yeah. I don't know, that's a toughie. DC is typically a lot more... At least lately, you know, darkness, less fun, jovial storytelling. So
Joker?
Alfred.
Alfred.
Alfred, yeah. Alfred is the bard.
Well, and you might be making that as a joke or just an offhand comment, but he's got limited ability to heal. Ability to motivate or to cut.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
You know, yeah.
Is trained in various and sundry, you know, combat styles, and also is a storyteller if you watch any movie that has an Alfred in it.
Mm-hmm. No, I was not making that as a joke. That was a legit suggestion.
There you go, then.
I need to find out if Alfred can play the lute.
In some incarnations, he is a Shakespeareanly trained actor, and Shakespeare is the bard. So therefore,
there you go.
There you go, then.
It's a performance. It has nothing to do with instrument. It's a performance thing. So,
all right. There you go.
Have we answered your questions?
I think so. Yeah, that was fun. That was fun. Well, now from pleasant to other things.
Poison Ivy is a druid.
Are you stalling the long box?
Of course not. Also, you could think of Swamp Thing.
Oh, yeah. Swamp Thing is absolutely a druid. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, because we missed those.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. We did forget druid. Yes.
Buffy as a blood hunter.
Are you stalling the long box?
Of course not. Now, Bloodhunter is not official. It's from Critical Role, but it is a recognized class. A fanatical slayer who embraces dark knowledge to destroy evil.
Welcome to our new D&D podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
Y'all, don't give our audience any ideas. They'll ask for it, and then we'll have to do it.
You say that like it's a bad thing.
I say that as someone who has not a lot of free time now.
So, moving on to other things.
Green Arrow is a ranger.
Chad, are you trying to stall the long box?
Of course not. Why would I do such a thing?
God damn it, Kent!
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Prepare yourself for Justin's long box. Yeah, baby. Extra long.
Thank you, Kent. So, Chad.
Yeah.
I listened very carefully. I went back and listened to the last episode, and I listened specifically to you. Okay?
Uh-huh.
I heard what you were saying, my friend, okay? I opened my ears and I opened my heart.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you seem to be a little put out by Howard the Duck, which is fine. He's not for everybody. But you said you wanted to maybe talk about other characters that I had mentioned. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to go through Howard the Duck's rogues gallery.
Well, there were some interesting things there.
So we're just going to go through them alphabetically.
Okay.
It's
Howard the Duck. How many could there be?
I got about 3 pages.
Great. Channel your inner micro machine advertiser.
So the first one we come across is Alexis the Duck. A human duck hybrid created using cells from Howard and a beautiful French-Canadian woman. Her brain belongs to the recently deceased, spoiled, overindulgent wife of a lawyer. Alexis inherited those traits. She has a constant desire for flashy material possessions. She has poor math skills and an insatiable need to spend more. She financially bankrupts men and moves on to her next target.
So she's an 80s TV trope.
Yes.
All right.
Complete with big hair and one-piece bathing suit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Next is Captain Americana. Not Captain America. Captain Americana.
Okay.
Armed
is
with
the guy from The Boys?
No. Armed with righteous fury and a gun, he's a force to be reckoned with. He carries a shield similar to Captain America's first one. Not the round one, but the one that's kind of a rounded triangle kind of thing.
Mm.
And has enough skill to throw it at an open door to close it and have it come back to him. You know, useful if you're already in bed. He can recognize anyone as a communist and is more than happy to shoot them. He keeps a gun on him at all times, and his house is fully stocked with artillery.
Shouldn't that be Captain Murka?
No, he was created before Murka became a thing.
Oh, okay.
So, Captain Americana. Moving on. Dr. Reich.
The third of the line.
As Hitler's personal dentist, it was the doctor's job to identify Hitler's remains after he killed himself based on dental records. The doctor was so obsessed with the dictator that he actually replaced his own teeth with that of Hitler's. Thus starting to believe that he was Hitler.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
It's the old philosophical thing. How many parts did the boat do you have to change before it's not the same boat? How many parts do you have to graft in before you become that which you're grafting?
Wow.
Elf with a gun. A secret agency of elves with guns. Their history, motives, and headquarters are unknown. At least two agents have been identified, Melf and Ralph. They are elves with guns.
I don't know what else I would have expected.
Nor do I, but I dig these two.
The Gingerbread Man. A giant gingerbread man that was brought to life and attacked Howard. Howard bit off his leg, causing him to fall back into the machine that created him. The explosion killed it and its creator.
Not the gumdrop buttons.
Okay, Chad, here's the one you've been waiting for.
I'm listening.
Hell cow.
Yeah.
Unable to find any human prey, Count Dracula feeds on a domesticated cow named Bessie. Seemingly dead, she is laid to rest. However, Bessie has become undead and rises from her grave as Hellcow, seeking revenge on Dracula.
See, I need an entire comic of Hellcow.
I would read the shit out of that.
We would have a menage a trois. Darren Hellcow and I.
Would it be Moonage a Toi?
Oh, hey.
Yes, that was very nice.
it's funny you should mention that because the next one is Le Beaver.
Le Beaver.
Pierre was Canada's only super patriot. He hated America and the way they treated Canada. He attempted to use beavers to dam Niagara Falls. America blew up the dam, crippling him in the process. Donning a beaver-shaped exoskeleton, he became Le Beaver. And after a brief fight with Howard, he falls to his death over Niagara. Mr. Chicken.
The ghost and?
Nope, just Mr. Chicken. The man who would be chicken discovered that America had grown tired of bland birds and would gladly pay to eat the best. To this end, he turned his poultry farm into a super farm, using the adage, it takes a tough man to make a tender chicken. He developed the most perfect fowl to be served up to the hungry customers. He eventually went crazy and began dressing like a giant rooster. You can imagine the things did not go well when he crossed paths with Howard.
Did that go under C's or M's?
M.
Okay, excellent.
Mister.
Carry on.
Sud. A restaurant dishwasher turned sentient swarm of bubbles thanks to a can of cleaner exploding in a microwave. Sud set out to, quote, clean up the town. Howard managed to defeat him by eventually popping him.
Well, that sounds awful.
Oh, one of my personal favorites. Chad, you're going to love this one.
I'm listening.
The Spanker.
Okay.
The headmaster at an expensive prep school, Fred Hovel, was fired after using excessive corporal punishment on his students. His obsession to punishing rule breakers led him to become the Spanker. Armed with paddles, he would spank anyone he deemed deserving.
Sounds fair.
Yeah, he's armed with, like, ping pong paddles.
Keep him, keep him away from Le Monkey.
And, sadly, finally, Turnip Man. Security guard Arthur Winslow dreamed of being a superhero. That day sort of came true when he merged with an intergalactic turnip to become Turnip Man. However, things did not go as planned. The turnip demanded to be fed to feel physical pleasure and took over Arthur's body. He kidnapped Howard's friend Beverly. Howard, assuming, quote, the brains are in the greens, pulled the leafy part of Turnip Man's head, separating Arthur from the turnip. After the turnip was destroyed in a nearby smokestack, Arthur went back to his old self. So, Chad, I listened to you.
I deeply appreciate it. I deeply appreciate it. The small bite-sized bits. That was nice.
And you wanted to stall this long box. It was just for you.
I am ashamed of my behavior, and I hope that you will forgive me.
Yes, I forgive you.
So what's next?
I want to thank our sponsors. Again, Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from your past so you can look rad today, and Gamefly, video games delivered. Please take a moment to leave us a review on your podcast service of choice. We appreciate it. Also, drop us a line on Facebook or Twitter. We'd love to hear from you. Don't forget to listen to our gaming and movie segments, as well as our other shows, You Want Me to Watch What? Too Long Didn't Read, and on YouTube, Retromantics and Geek Cave Plays. And now, here is your out of context comic panel. We see New York City. It's a bright, sunny day. The sky is blue. The city is bustling. The sun is silhouetting the Daily Bugle. It is just a perfect scene. And the caption reads, Midgard, home of fossil fuels and high fructose corn syrup. For Kent, Darren, and Chad, I'm Justin, and this has been The Wonderful World of Comics. And remember, everyone's a geek for something.